First in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. We had been talking for the last few weeks. We talked about the Hebrew language, and we talked about different aspects of Hebrew and all the different things, all the different meanings, and how they all pointed to Christ. But now that we're coming into our Christmas season, I just want to talk about Jesus for the next however long. Don't know how long it could take you to talk about Jesus. You could talk about him for all eternity, but I just want to talk about Jesus. I want to go back and examine his life, examine who he is and where he came from, and who he is to us. And so just beginning this morning here in Matthew chapter 16, I want to read a verse to you. Look with me in verse 13. It says, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' And they said, 'Some say you're John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.' And he saith unto them, 'But whom say ye that I am?' And Simon Peter answered and said, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.'" This is a scripture here where Jesus, one day, he said to his disciples, he says, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And that's a very important question this morning. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus Christ? Who is he? And you know, the same question can be asked today of people: who is Jesus Christ? And just like there was way back then, there's so many people with so many different answers. Herod said that he was John the Baptist, that was raised from the dead, resurrected from the dead. Do you remember that story where Herod had John the Baptist beheaded? And then he had heard about Jesus, and one day before Jesus died, Pilate sent him down to Herod, and Herod said, "This is John the Baptist raised from the dead," because he wanted, to atone for his sins, really, of having murdered John the Baptist. And so some say he was John the Baptist. The Bible says some say he was Elijah. Some say he was one of the prophets. And you know, there's a lot of different people today with a lot of different opinions about who Jesus is. But you know what? What people's opinion of who Jesus is doesn't really matter this morning. We meet people constantly. We meet people in different places, and they all have an opinion about who Jesus is. But you know whose opinion matters? Because then Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am? Who is he to you? What is he to you?" And that's vitally important, because the scripture says that whosoever believes that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is born of God. And if you believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord, he's our Savior, then you are born of God. But if you don't, there is no salvation for you. Because salvation, the Bible says, is found in no one else. Neither is there any name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, and that is the name of Jesus. But it's vitally important that we know and that we understand who Jesus is. And so the question this morning is, who is Jesus and who is he to you? You know, even modern philosophers have this concept who they think Jesus is. But if they don't believe that he is the Christ, that he is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, there is no salvation for them. When we look back at Jesus, Jesus was born in the normal way, really. You know, we go back to Bethlehem, and he was born of Mary in a stable. And so he was just born the same way as other people are born. He grew the same way as other people grew. You know, the scripture says that he got hungry, that he got thirsty, that he got tired. We know when he went through his temptation in the wilderness, the scripture says afterwards he was hungry. We know after ministering and feeding the 5,000 after the Mount of Beatitudes, when he gave his Sermon on the Mount, we know that Jesus was tired and he went and slept. And so he was hungry, he was thirsty, he was tired, the same as the rest of us. You know, he looked normal. He just looked like any normal person. Talked the same way everybody else talked. Walked the same way everybody else walked. He had emotions such as compassion, surprise, and sorrow. You know, the scripture says that when he came to Lazarus' tomb, he wept. Scripture says he wept over Jerusalem. He had same emotions as we had. The scriptures tell us that he prayed to God, as humans ought to do. He called himself a man, and other people called him a man. And the reality was, he was a perfect human being. But you know, he wasn't just a human being. He was 100% man, but the scripture also says he was 100% God. And when we go back and look at his life, we see the humanity of Jesus. But if you think that Jesus was just a human, you have missed the whole point. You have missed completely who Jesus is. The real test of who Jesus is must revolve around who he claimed to be, what he accomplished during his brief visit to the planet. There is no Christianity without Jesus, and it all centers on him. Jesus was born, he had a mother, but you know what? His birth was a virgin birth. Because the scripture says of Mary that she knew no man, but that the Spirit of God came upon her, and that holy thing that was born in her was called the Son of God. And this was no ordinary birth from that perspective, because the child that was born in her was seeded by the Spirit of God himself, and it was God in flesh. Let's look at a few scriptures then as we begin to look what the scripture says about him. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. And we're going to be talking about these things over the next number of weeks as we come up to Christmas. We'll talk about his virgin birth and all the other aspects of his life and ministry. But in Isaiah chapter 7 here, look with me in verse 14. The scripture says, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And you know, this was something that was supernatural. The scripture says, behold, a virgin shall conceive a son and bring forth a child, and his name will be called Emmanuel. And we'll talk about that just in a moment. But you know, right back from the very beginning, right back from the fall of man, God gave a prophecy back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. And the prophecy was that the seed of the woman would be at enmity with the seed of the serpent, or the seed of Satan. And when it talks about the seed of a woman, how many of you know that women don't have seed? The seed comes from the man. But when it talked about the seed of a woman, it was talking about something supernatural. It was talking about a woman having a seed that didn't come the natural way, that didn't come through man, but actually came supernaturally. And so the seed of the woman was talking about a virgin birth. And that was prophesied right from the very beginning, right from Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. It was prophesied that the virgin would give birth to a child. Look with me in chapter 9, Isaiah chapter 9. It says in Isaiah chapter 9 here in verse 6. It says, unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. It says here in the beginning of this verse, it says, unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. Why do you think it says it twice? Why does it say, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given? Why did it say it twice? Surely you think to yourself, well, that's a waste of words. He already said there was a child going to be born. Why did he go on and say a son is going to be given? What was the purpose of it? And the purpose here was he was talking about the twofold nature of this child. The child that was born was Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus of Nazareth was a human, born with an earthly mother called Mary. And Jesus of Nazareth was a human. But then it says, unto us a son is given. And the son was given, who was given, was the Son of God that was wrapped in human form, that was wrapped in a baby. And so Jesus Christ, he had a human origin, but he also had a divine origin. Jesus Christ had a human mother, but he had a divine father. And Jesus Christ was God in flesh. Let's look at this here for a minute. It says, unto us a child is born. And the child that was born was his humanity. And unto us a son is given. And the son that was given was his deity. But watch what it says about him. The government shall be upon his shoulder. And he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. And there's an interesting title, the Mighty God. When was a child ever called the Mighty God? What child that was ever born was ever called the Mighty God? Well, that title belongs to one person and one person only, and his name is Jesus Christ. He was the only child that was ever born of a virgin. He was the only son that was ever given from heaven, and he alone owns the title Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the Mighty God. Look with me in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. And this is the fulfillment of those prophecies. In Matthew chapter 1. Look with me in verse 22. It says, now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. And we read that in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. But then it goes on and it adds a little piece here, which is being interpreted, God with us. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which when it's interpreted means God with us. And so this virgin gave birth to a child. But you know who the child was? The child wasn't mere humanity. The child's name was called Emmanuel, which is God with us. So who is Jesus? God with us, God in flesh. Jesus Christ is God in flesh. And if you have an opinion this morning that Jesus Christ is anything less than God, then you have no understanding of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. Let me just say one other thing about that before we move on. I love that title, God with us. I love the title, God with us. Do you know why that is? Because when I was growing up, and I remember having a desire for God and not knowing how to find him. And I remember nights being out in the winter and being out up the fields with the boys or whatever and looking up at the stars and seeing all the stars in the sky. And I used to think to myself, I wonder where God is. I wonder where he is. He's way up there in the heavens somewhere, out in the universe somewhere. He's way busy in some corner of the universe and he just wound the planet up and we're spinning away over here, but God's away off in some other part of the universe doing something. But you know what? That's not right, because the scripture says that Jesus Christ is God with us. He's not God far away. He's God with us. He's God who came down to rescue us. He's God who came down that we might have relationship with him. And Jesus Christ this morning is God, but he's God with us. And every single one of us can have a relationship with him. That's why we talked about at the beginning where the scripture says, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. And you know, Jesus has already provided, he has already given everything that he needed to make that way open to us. And now he stands knocking. Waiting for people, longing for people to accept him and say, come in, Lord. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to sup with you. And I want you to sup with me. And you know, as we look around this morning, and there's how many is here this morning, but when we look at the city, and I know there's other churches, don't get me wrong, but when we look at the city this morning, and the catchment area for Newry is 87,000 people. In the catchment area for Newry, 87,000 people. And God is here, God is with us. And God is knocking on the door of people's lives. And all he wants is for people to open the door and let him come in and be their Lord and be their Savior and be their Master. Look with me in John chapter 1. John chapter 1. When did Jesus have his beginning? When did he have his beginning? Well, let's talk for a minute about the name Jesus Christ. When we talk about the name Jesus Christ, we think, you know, that's Jesus is his first name and Christ is his second name, like Stephen Blevins or Mike Houlihan or Joey Chambers. And we think, you know, Christ is his surname. But in actual fact, the name Christ is actually a title. And that title means the Messiah. It means the anointed one. Or it's talking about the Son that came from heaven. And so when we talk about Jesus, Jesus came 2,000 years ago, born of a virgin. But Christ came from heaven, and Christ lived for all eternity. Do you understand? His humanity came from Mary, but his deity came from heaven. And so when we talk about the name Jesus, we're talking about his humanity. And his humanity began 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. But when we talk about Christ, we're talking about his deity. And his deity had no beginning and will have no ending. Look with me here in John chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the word Word there is the word Logos, and it's talking about Jesus. But it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was with God in the beginning. Now watch what it says in verse 3. It says, all things were made by him. By whom? Well, by the Word, by the Logos. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Look down with me in verse 14. The scripture says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The scripture says here that in the beginning was the Word, and that Word that he's talking about there was the personification of Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the scripture goes on to say that he created all things. And without him was not anything made that was made. And so long before Jesus ever became a baby, Jesus lived. Jesus was the creator of the whole world. He's the creator. The scripture says without him was nothing made that was made. But then the scripture says there was a time when the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so there was a time when the Word came down, entered into the womb of a woman, and was born as a baby, and we call his name Jesus. But that wasn't his beginning. Jesus existed for all eternity. Jesus is the Son from heaven, but he was wrapped in humanity, and his humanity was called Jesus. Amen. So who is Jesus Christ? Well, the part of him, Jesus, came from Nazareth, or came from Bethlehem, rather. Jesus from Bethlehem was his humanity. But Christ, the Son, came from eternity, came from heaven, and dwells among us. Look with me in John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Let's look at some of the things that Jesus says about himself. Look with me here in verse 16. Actually, let's go back for a minute. Jesus here had just healed a man. Look at verse 13. And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had carried himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterwards, Jesus finds him in the temple and says, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon thee. And the man departed and told the Jews it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute him and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered and said, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And this is an interesting thing here, because Jesus never hid, in a sense, who he was. When Jesus said here who he was, the Jews knew exactly what he was saying. It says he called God his Father, making himself equal with God. And Jesus was equal with God. He was equal with God because he was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And when he said this here, the Jews knew exactly who he was claiming to be. Look with me in verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what did he see at the Father do? For whatsoever things he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loves the Son, shows him all things that he himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. And the word quickeneth there means give life. For the Father judgeth no man, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all men should honour the Son, even as they honour the Father. He that honoureth not the Son, honoureth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. You know, isn't it interesting here that Jesus, when he was talking to these scribes and Pharisees, all the different things that he says about himself here. He says, the Father gives life, I give life. The Father actually doesn't judge anybody, he's given to me to judge. And then he makes an interesting statement. He says, if you honor the Father, you honor me. He says, if you don't honor me, you don't honor the Father. What's he talking about? Again, he's making himself equal with God. And we need to understand something here. Jesus, when we look at Jesus, we don't look at him after the flesh. And there's so many people, and that's how they see Jesus. They see him as just a man. They see him as just a good teacher. But Jesus was more than that. Jesus is the Son from heaven. Jesus is the Christ of God. Jesus is the living Word that created all things. But one day he came down and was born of a virgin, and he lived and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Amen. Look with me in John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Look with me here in let's read from verse 52. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that you have a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And you say, If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead. Whom makest thou thyself? And this is interesting here, because Jesus had made a statement, and so they start to invoke the name of Abraham and the name of the prophets, and he says, Abraham is dead, the prophets are dead. Who are you saying that you are? Now listen to who he says he is. Who are you saying that you are? Verse 54. Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is the Father that honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his saying. Now watch what he says in verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham. And he said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Before Abraham was, I am. And so they invoked the name of Abraham. They said, You know, Abraham was our father. He was the father of the faith. Are you greater than Abraham? And then he says, Who do you make yourself? But he makes a statement here, and he says, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Now let me ask you a question, and think about this logically for a minute. When did Abraham ever see Jesus? He never seen Jesus. Do you know why? Because Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He never seen Jesus, but you know who he did see? He seen the Christ. When did he see him? Do you remember when he was up on Mount Moriah, when he went to sacrifice his son Isaac on the altar, and God spoke to him? And you see this in the Hebrew language. It says God will provide himself a lamb, or basically God will be the lamb. God will provide himself a lamb. And he pointed to Mount Moriah, which was actually Mount Calvary, and he says he'll be seen there. And what actually happened was Abraham got a vision, he got a revelation of the Christ who was to come. And so he said to these guys here, he says, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And they said back to him, So you're not yet 50. How can you say that Abraham has seen you? And Jesus makes a statement here. He says, Before Abraham was, I am. Anybody know what the name I am is? It's the name of God. The name of God is I am. And so what Jesus said is, Before Abraham was even born, I am, or I am God. And Jesus Christ made himself to be God. And the scriptures say here that the Jews were angry about him. Look at verse 59. Then they took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went through the temple, going through the midst of them. And so they passed him by. Do you know why they took up stones to kill him? Because he said he was God. And you see, we need to understand something. We look at Jesus sometimes after the flesh. Now let me say this to you, some of you young believers. Because one of the areas that where we fall into error is particularly coming to Christmas time. And when we come to Christmas time, you know, and we have the little mangers and the little baby Jesus lying in the manger, and we think it's all lovely. You know, it's lovely to have this little baby. But Jesus Christ didn't come to be a baby. The baby wasn't the savior of the world. Jesus Christ hanging on the cross was the savior of the world. Do you understand? And it wasn't Jesus' birth that saved us. It was his death and resurrection that saved us. And so often people, and they like to think about the baby in the manger. But that baby that was in a manger grew up and was crucified on the cross for us. Look with me in John chapter 14. And this is an interesting passage of scripture here, where Jesus has this dialogue with his disciples. We'll just read this from verse 1. Jesus speaking here to his disciples, he said, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said unto them, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from now on you know him and have seen him. Then saith Philip unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and that will suffice us. And Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you? And have you not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but my Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. And here Jesus is having this discourse with his disciples, and he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. He was going to heaven to prepare a place. And then he said, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to take you to be with me in heaven. And the disciples said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And then he says to him, show us the Father. And Jesus said, have I been so long time with you that you don't even know who I am? He says, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Now, how could Jesus have said that? He that has seen me has seen the Father. Do you know why? Because he said a little bit later, he says, I and the Father are one. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus was the full revelation, the full manifestation of God the Father. And when we look at Jesus, we're looking at God. Amen. When we look at Jesus, we're seeing God. And Jesus is the full revelation of God. Let me just say this to you too. And it's amazing how so many people, and they take things out of context. And they talk about all the different things that God will do this and God will do that. Well, Jesus said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. If you want to know what God is doing, you look at Jesus. People say, you know, God the Father will put sickness on you to teach you something. Well, my question to that is, when did you ever see Jesus doing that? Well, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. When did you ever see Jesus put sickness on somebody to teach them something? When did you ever actually see Jesus or someone coming to him and saying to him, Lord, heal me? And Jesus said, no, my Father put that on you. I can't take it away. Never. When did you ever see Jesus saying to somebody, oh no, you need to learn through that. And when you've learned your lesson, I'll take it away. You've never seen it. Jesus said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. And the first place we should always begin with is look at the life of Jesus. Because if we look at Jesus and he's not doing something that the Father is doing, or he's doing something that the Father is not doing, then he's not a good witness. He is not revealing the Father fully to us. He is not the personification of the Father, but yet the Scripture says he is. He reveals God fully. He reveals God perfectly. Amen. Let me show you that. Look with me in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Just another 142 scriptures and we've finished. Colossians chapter 1. Look with me here in verse 16. If you go back just to verse 14, speaking of Jesus, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. That's talking about Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And there again, he says he's the image of the invisible God. He's the image of the invisible God. If he's the image of the invisible God, you know there's nothing different between them. Do you understand? He's the image of the invisible God. Verse 16, for by him were all things created. That's Jesus. Things that are in heaven, things that are on the earth, whether they be visible or invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. And in him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. I want you to notice that phrase there. It says, it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. So all the fullness dwelt in Jesus. All the fullness of what? All the fullness of what? Well, look over in chapter 2 and verse 9, because it tells you in chapter 2 and verse 9, speaking again of Jesus, it says, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In him, in Jesus, dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Do you know what that means? It means that Jesus was fully God. In him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus was not just a man with the Spirit of God on the inside of him. People say, you know, he was just a man that manifested the God principle, whatever that is. But the scripture says that he was fully human, and yet he was fully divine, because in him dwelled all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Again, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23, we read earlier. It says that he shall be called Emmanuel, which is being interpreted God with us. And our God came down because man was in a lost state. Man was in a lost condition. Man couldn't have relationship with God the way he wanted. And so our God came down, wrapped himself in humanity, wrapped himself in the body of a child, and walked and grew among us to become the Savior of the world, to deliver us from our sin. And we see him in the face of Jesus. We see our God. Last scripture, look with me in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And we're thinking about who is Jesus Christ? Who is he? Or what is he to us? Matthew chapter 13. We talked about earlier, you know, a lot of people have an opinion about who Jesus is, and you'll see that in his own hometown. But watch this here in Matthew chapter 13, look at verse 54. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, "Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not with us? Whence then hath this man all these things?" And they were offended in him. You know, Jesus came into his own hometown. And the Bible says he went in, he stood up in the synagogue and started to preach. And when he started to preach, all the people marveled. He says, "Where did this fella get this wisdom? Where did he get all these mighty works?" But you know what? They were looking at him after the flesh. And then they started to say, "But sure, we know his father. I know Joseph. So my dad went to school with him. So we know Mary. We know all about them. We know his brothers. We know his sisters. They're all here with us." It says, and they marveled. But then Jesus went on to say something here. At verse 57, they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house." Now look at verse 58. "And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." They did not many works there because, he did not many works there because of their unbelief. See, what happens was they saw Jesus in the natural. And because they saw him in the natural, he wasn't able to do any mighty works for them. He wasn't able to be their savior. He wasn't able to be their healer. He wasn't able to be their deliverer. He wasn't able to be their comforter. He wasn't able to be any of those things to them because they saw him after the flesh. Do you know what that tells us? It tells us that we shouldn't know Jesus just after the flesh. We go back to that question that we started in the beginning. Who do you say that I am? Because who you say that he is who he is to you. Do you know him this morning as Savior? Well, then he's your Savior. Do you know him as healer? Well, then he's your healer. Do you know him as comforter? Well, then he's your comforter. But if you know him after the flesh, the scripture says he can do there no mighty works. What do you need Jesus to be to you? What do you want him to do in your life? And if you want him to do something, if you want him to be something, if you want him to be your deliverer, your healer, then you have to claim him as that. Do you understand? And I know sometimes people are looking for something that's external to them. "I wish Jesus would come and heal me." Instead, we need to say, "No, I know Jesus is my healer." Instead of saying, "I wish Jesus would come and save me," why not say, "I know that Jesus is my Savior"? And don't be knowing him after the flesh, but know him according to who he is. Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God. Jesus, the eternal Son that came down one day, wrapped himself in humanity, and walked among us to teach us how to have relationship with him. to teach us how to enter into his presence, to teach us how we might receive salvation, forgiveness of sins, healing, deliverance, comfort, and all these other things that he wants to give us. How do you see him this morning? Who is he to you? Because when you decide who he is to you, that's when you begin to see the manifestation of what it is that he came to do to you. Do you understand? We need to understand who he is. Jesus, the Son of God, born of a virgin, walked among us. We called his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Is God with you this morning? Have you received him as your Lord and Savior? Have you received him as your God, your healer, your deliverer, your comforter, your peace? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Let's close with a word of prayer.